Hey, welcome back, students and listeners who've heard this show before. I'm glad you're still with me. First-time listeners, I'm particularly glad you've tuned in. I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 007 of the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com podcast. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists playing and understanding. So here I am doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. I'm glad you could join me. Well, let's see. I hope your playing has been going well and that you haven't suffered any major setbacks, and if you have, that you understand what's happened and you're on the road to recovery. The big news here is that you can now subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. Yay! Okay. The so-so news, though, is that temporarily you can only get from episode 005 forward. So you can get 005, 006, and this episode as soon as I get it up. I'll spare you my technical schizophrenia and just say that I'm working on getting the entire show roster up on iTunes, and I hope to have it available ASAP. It shouldn't be long. It has to do with that I'm using a particular aggregating service now, but I've got software that I'm working through so I can just aggregate this myself. So the service that I'm using has a monthly limitation for a particular fee, and because no one's sponsoring me, who should sponsor me? I don't want to be paying money monthly for this podcast longer than I have to. So, A, if you want to sponsor me and you have a product that I can in good conscience advertise on this segment or on this podcast, I'll be glad to have a talk with you. But pretty soon you'll be able to get from 001 forward on iTunes. I hope it's within the week. I can't make a bold promise like that because life is very fluid and it's summer and kooky things go on. Okay, so thanks again for your forbearance. You can get from episode 005 forward now on iTunes. Just go look for GuitarTechniqueTutor.com, all one word, podcast, and it'll come up. Okay? Let's see, what else is going on? I have a few lesson consultations with prospective students scheduled for this week. One of them looks very good. One I'm really kind of on the fence about. I don't know if it's going to go forward or not. By the way, if you're a student from last school year, a student of mine, and you're home and you have not resumed lessons, I advise you to get in touch. If I don't hear anything from you, I'm going to assume you're not returning, and I'm going to just begin scheduling students as they show up. So, you know, I don't want to say goodbye to anybody, but if you're not interested in maintaining your lesson schedule, you're going to be stepping aside voluntarily or involuntarily for someone who does want to learn. Okay? All right, well, pretty much this week's show pretty much circles around tuning, keeping your guitar in tune, how to play and not bend strings that you don't want to bend, and so on. So it's very thematic this week, which is really, I think it's the first time we've done a really totally single-themed show. I hope you enjoy it. I hope it doesn't seem redundant or boring to you, and that you can learn something. So with all these intro formalities out of the way, that's it for this segment, and let's move along to the spotlight. In the student spotlight this week, I have three students, and the number is dropping because a lot of people are away these last couple of weeks of August. And among the students that I worked with, the light-bathed students that are in the glow are Arno, Arthur, and Brittany. And you all stand out for a very, very different reason. Brittany, you're the newest student I have, and you're doing marvelously. We just have to work on just getting your ring finger to stay a little bit more vertical. It's a very tricky proposition for a lot of beginners to keep their ring finger's tip joint vertical on a string and not have it kind of get concave. But aside from that, you're doing fabulously. Arthur, You know what I say in your lessons. You're doing just fabulously. And Arno, you're progressing really beautifully. I know after this week's lesson, you have a one-week break and you're going to go away with the family. But keep up the good work. I love your zeal. I love your diligence. And all three of you deserve kudos. So here they are. Kudo, kudo, kudo. One for each of you. Or I should give you kudos, 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 because I don't think a kudo is a singular thing. Don't write to me. I don't know if it's singular or plural. But you did great. Keep up the good work. Stay consistent. Arno, try to practice while you're away. Okay, so let's move on to the question of the week. Okay, this week's question came from one of my students, and basically this was the question. How do I not bend notes I don't want to bend when I'm playing in a really high register or a really high position? Well, this is a kind of interesting thing. I'm really a stickler for knowledge, understanding, and mastering technique. Well and truly, there are too many guitarists out there with mediocre or downright miserable technique. No question about it. You see them on TV frequently. You see them on stage frequently. And the thing that's hard for a lot of guitar students to understand is just because somebody makes a lot of money doesn't necessarily mean that their actual playing technique is good. Because unless they're an instrumental artist, and there's no band and no vocalist and no anything else, the mastering of their guitar is not what is generating money necessarily. Could be. I mean, you could have, you know, a fabulous musician who's in a band, but not every guitarist who's in a really fabulously high-profile or money-making band is a consummate guitar technician. So just want to bring it to your attention. Anyway, if you are one of those guitarists who has mediocre or downright miserable technique, don't click the show off. Listen, you might learn something. The short answer to the problem is position. But the longer answer might be in the news segment, which is going to follow this one. So stay tuned, if you'll pardon the pun. Okay, so you're playing your favorite really high guitar solo part, and no matter what you do, you're bending where you don't want to hear a bend. You just want to hear a clean tone. And just by virtue of the angle at which your fingers are attacking the string, there's a bend. You can hear that the sound is not the pure sound you're looking for. And I hope when you play, you're listening and you're not just counting frets. Don't get me started. Playing the guitar is not a mechanical exercise. You're making sound, and if your ear isn't processing the sound while you're making it, you have trouble. Okay. So, just by virtue of the angle at which your fingers are attacking the strings is where the problem is. The answer is easy to see with some acoustic players, namely nylon string players who hold their guitars in a traditional classical position, which is on their left, you heard me correctly, left thigh, with their left foot exaggeratedly raised, so the guitar is more vertical than horizontal, and their chin is just about on the upper bout of the guitar, or it may actually be there. Now, it's a very standard position for classical guitarists, and there's a reason they hold the guitar that way, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, I know it sounds like a crazy position to play in if you aren't a classical guitarist, but I mention it to bring up a point. That player with their guitar on their left thigh, left foot high, and guitar upper bout in their chin practically, is playing clean notes in the highest registers their guitar offers. Keep in mind that a traditional classical guitar neck joins the body at the 12th fret, not the 14th or higher. And there's no cutaway on a traditional classical guitar. So they have adopted this position in order to have the high registers just sound high and not sound messy. Now, I've said all this to get this point to you. you need to think about the mechanics when you're playing past, say, I don't know, the 10th fret. I don't mean chord mechanics, I mean the mechanics of how your fingers are striking the strings and then the neck of your guitar, and then of course it's how your hand is grasping the neck of the guitar. Now I have to say, if how you look when you play is more important than how you play, which means you're a wannabe, don't bother listening. Serious guitarists, here's my advice to you. It's the same advice I've been giving to all of my students for years. And I'm going to say this, it's the same advice that 85% of those students don't take. Yes, 85% of them don't take this simple advice. Now let's see if you'll take my advice. Wannabes are not going to take this advice, so you can just stop listening. Those of you who think everything you're doing right now is right and perfect and you're wonderful, you're not going to take my advice either. But for the rest of you, here's the easy solution. Are you ready? No, this is too easy. Okay, let's do a little bit more of you figuring it out. Okay, picture that kooky classical guitarist with the guitar on the left thigh, left foot is on a footstool, and that footstool is really high, so the chin of the guitarist is touching or nearly touching the upper bout. Can you see him or her, whoever you're envisioning? Can you just, like, picture it? I want you to see it. What's the biggest difference between that picture and the way you hold the guitar, either seated or standing? You're not answering me. The answer is where and how the guitar crosses their torso. Yeah, I know this is not about technique yet, but this is really important. Everything, right down to how much pressure you can even exert at a high register fret, is related to this. Here's a little experiment that you can try if you have two empty soda cans. Take one in your left hand, bend your left elbow so your forearm is parallel to the floor, your hand is upwards toward the ceiling, and your elbow is about 2 inches farther behind you than the surface of your back. Okay, you got that? Your elbow's at your side, your arm is parallel to the ground, hand up, and pull your elbow back a little bit past being even with your back. Squeeze the can as hard as you can and just put it aside. Take a little break for yourself. Then repeat the can crushing with this change. Rather than your left forearm being parallel to the floor with your elbows 2 inches farther behind you than the surface of your back and your palm facing the ceiling, allow your left elbow to bend so that your elbow is about at your waist or hip bone, depending on how you're built. Angle the arm so your hand with the can is about a fully spread hand span from your left shoulder. So that puts your palm facing you. Squeeze the can as hard as you can. If you have followed these kind of nebulous directions, the second can is much more crumpled than the first can. And that's because you can exert more pressure in that position. Likewise, on the guitar fingerboard. If when you play in a higher register, the back of your hand is somewhat parallel to the floor, as it is when playing in the position of your first can crush, you really can't attack the fingerboard in anything even close to a vertical direction. So you're going to bend the notes. And you're not going to have much power when you do it. However, if you play in a high register, the palm of your left hand somewhat parallel to your chest or your body, you can achieve, with a little bit of wrist rotation, the vertical attack angle necessary for playing and not bending notes. Now, are you following me on this? This is really important. So, for virtually all electric players and most acoustic players, it means shortening your guitar strap. No, you are not going to look like the people in some of your favorite bands and your favorite music videos and those guys and chicks who play with their guitars about waist high and parallel to the floor. You are not going to look like them. Just, it's not going to happen. But if you shorten your strap and angle the guitar so the neck is a little more vertical than horizontal, you're going to be able to play much more cleanly. Okay? It's all about where the guitar is and what mechanic your left arm and hand have to go through to strike those notes. Now, if you're a nylon string player or an acoustic player who plays sitting down, assume the position of that classical guitarist I had you envision earlier. You've got to accustom yourself to having the lower bout of the guitar in between your thighs and the guitar waist resting on your left thigh. It's a very, very peculiar position for people who are used to sitting with their right leg crossed over their left and playing guitar that way. But it's really limiting. You're going to see immediately that higher positions, especially if you don't have a cutaway guitar, are infinitely easier. Feels peculiar, but what you gain in playability is the issue here. So I hope you crumpled the cans. I hope if you're listening to this, you know, in the gym or in the car or somewhere not near your guitar, that you'll save this episode and try the can crushing exercise yourself, because I want you to see how hugely impacted your strength and reflex and pressure is by this difference of where your hand is and where your arm is in relation to your body. Okay, so give it a try. I hope this helps you if you're suffering from unintentionally bent notes in high registers. Okay, well, that wraps it up for the question of the week, and it was really a good one. And now we're going to move along to this week's news. Okay, well, we've got a real trend started here today with keeping the guitar in tune or playing in tune at the in the higher registers. And let's stay on that subject of not bending notes that you don't want to bend in the high registers. If this has been a real problem for you and you're a serious electric guitarist, I'd like to direct your attention to a product that sounds really promising. Now, don't mistake my mention of this for an endorsement. I can't personally endorse it. I've never used it, tried it, or experienced it. I'd rather every guitarist be so highly skilled that every note is clean and pure unless they're intentionally bending it or muting it. But that said, I'm going to still direct you to a website that is called evertune.com, evertune.com. On that website, you're going to read about and be able to listen to and see videos of various musicians playing their electrics outfitted with the Evertune bridge, demonstrating that, are you ready? That the bridge keeps their guitars in tune, even in really high registers when their fingers are actually unintentionally bending notes. Now, this is like a dream come true for a lot of guitarists, and especially you guys and girls who play on really low tension strings because you do a lot of bending. This is groundbreaking technology, and this bridge is brought to you by two inventors. There's an inventor and a co-inventor. The inventor is Cosmos Lyles. Mr. Lyles is a lifelong musician. He studied physics and engineering at Duke University. The concept for the breakthrough technology behind Evertune came to him in a dream, and he immediately set to work developing it. And, you know, I know a lot of guitar players who dream of their guitar not going out of tune, but they don't do anything about it. Anyway, 4 years and hundreds of prototypes later, Mr. Lyles was granted an exclusive patent for this. So now don't go try to, you know, buy this and rip it off. Now, his co-inventor is Paul Dowd. Mr. Dowd studied mechanical engineering at Cornell and is the founder of Creative Engineering LLC. He first met Mr. Lyles as a customer, but then they joined forces. Mr. Dowd invented the mechanism which makes constant tension possible, and he continues to perform engineering and product development for Evertune. Now, I really want you serious guitarists to check this out. I am not suggesting the casual player will be in the market for this bridge replacement option, but if you perform and need your guitar to remain in tune, or if you waste a lot of time in recording sessions because you're so frequently out of tune, you'll do well to get information from this site. Again, I can't say this is an out-and-out endorsement because I have not played a guitar with this setup, but I am passing the info along to you. All signs seem to indicate this is a really, really extraordinary product. A guitar with an Evertune bridge has been played 3 or 4 different times on The Tonight Show. Check it out on the news tab on Evertune.com on their website. I'm going to do my best to get in touch with their CEO and get a little bit more information. And if I do, and if it's anything that I can supplement what I've discussed here, if the information is such that I can supplement what I've discussed here, I will surely update you in the coming weeks. But this seems like a really amazing, amazing product. There are guitars that have particular kinds of bridges and alternate ways that you master tune the guitar and then you fine tune it another way, and I'm not going to discuss those brand guitars. And I can tell you that everyone I know who has one says they're basically a nightmare and they threw their money away on those guitars. You know what I'm talking about, you players who know the market and know what instruments are out there. Now, this is something that you're not going to buy and put on yourself. This is a bridge that has to be installed on your electric guitar. Keep in mind that this is going to cause your guitar to be amazingly well-tuned after you do the tuning setup. It's not going to happen by magic. You've got to go through a particular procedure to get your guitar in tune. But once it's tuned with this Evertune, you're going to really have free sailing and great intonation, even if your technique is crummy. Plus, you are able to bend, so the bridge compensates and keeps exactly the same tension on the strings that need to be bent, and after a bend, you return back to really correct tuning. And you people who play a lot of bent music, you know that bending is what pulls your guitar strings way out of tune. So it's an amazing development. I'm not endorsing it, but I really think you should take a look at it. I'm not endorsing it because I think it's bad. I just don't have firsthand information. I've not touched it or used it, so I can't say anything. But looks promising. Remember, you're going to take your high-end guitar, and it will no longer be in what's considered original condition if you ever think you're going to sell it. But why would you sell it if it stays in tune and you love it and it's a high-end guitar? That's another story. And hopefully if you sell it after this modification has been done, whoever's purchasing it will consider it an upgrade as opposed to that you took the guitar out of original condition. Okay, well, I wanted to pass that along to you. Now let's move along to this week's Take Note segment. Well, why break a trend? This week's Take Note segment is going to remain on the subject of your guitar remaining in tune, or let's even say starting out in tune. I think it's an appropriate issue to discuss tuning the guitar. How do you tune your guitar? My guess is that about 85% of you who are listening, other than my students, are tuning with electronic tuners. You got it with your guitar, or someone gave it to you when you got your guitar, or you just bought it because your guitar being out of tune was driving you crazy. If it's any comfort, it drives me crazier than you when a guitar is out of tune. But the way to get your guitar in really excellent tune is not with an electric tuner, unless you're in a really high noise venue like on stage and you're in the midst of playing and you've got to retune it or change the tuning and you just can't hear that's okay. Or if you have a very moderate hearing impairment, you know, some of you older rockers who have played without earplugs in excruciating noisy venues, who are now beginning to suffer the effects of tinnitus or any kind of hearing problem, you might be someone who would do well to just use the electronic tuner, accept the compromise you have to make with it, and go on. But the rest of you should not. Okay, so you're at home and you're tuning at least every time you pick up your guitar, unless you have an Evertune bridge set up on it. And how do you get it in tune? Well, why do I recommend against an electronic tuner? Hey, they're easy to come by, they're not expensive, they quote-unquote work. Well, let me attack this issue, why I recommend against electronic tuners. I recommend against the electronic tuner because your eyes process the tuner's display and your actions are triggered by a visual prompt rather than by your ears. That's my primary objection. Depending on the quality of the tuner and the battery level, its tuning prompts can also be really, really inaccurate. So call me a purist if you like, it's fine with me. String players of every stripe, excluding some guitarists, have the very best ears on the planet among the vast sea of musicians who are out there. And they are so because they tune their instruments every time they play them, and in many circumstances, multiple times during a single session of playing or practicing. Have you ever noticed that when you're around guitarists and someone's playing the piano, how frequently one of the guitarists says one of these things? Can't they tune that piano? Or, when was the last time they had that piano tuned? Or, of course it's out of tune, it's a piano. If you haven't heard similar statements or sentiments expressed, you haven't been around guitarists who listen to whether their guitars are tuned or not. They just see if their guitars are tuned a lot, and I mean see visually. I'm old school. If you don't have an A440 tuning fork in your guitar case or on your music stand or in the room you play in, get one. It's the best and least expensive investment you're going to make in training your ears as well as tuning your guitar. I don't know which is even bigger. Probably your ears are more important to me than if your guitar is perfectly in tune. And that's saying a lot because an out-of-tune guitar is pretty irksome. Okay, if you have never learned to tune your guitar with a tuning fork, here's a brief summary of one of the ways you can do it. There are a lot of variations on this, but I'm going to walk you through what I teach my students to do. Okay, first of all, you have to have an A440 tuning fork. Strike the side of the U of the fork while holding the stem of it. By saying strike the side of the U, I mean if you strike it and both of the verticals of the U are hit by what you're striking it on, you're holding it wrong. You want that little skinny side. So you're going to strike the U with the fork while holding the stem of it. Do not touch the U. The U is what's making the sound. Don't touch it. Now, so you've got this vibrating tuning fork and you're holding it by its stem. Now, what I'd like you to do is touch the end of the stem while not inhibiting the U's vibration and not touching the U. Touch it to the bridge. You can touch it anywhere on the guitar, but the bridge, because it's usually not a high shine finish, is not going to show repeated contact with the tuning fork the way high polished areas will. Now, what you're going to find is after you've struck the tuning fork properly, not inhibited the U, held the stem of it on the bridge of your guitar is going to resonate a beautiful bell-like pitch. And if my, oh, I've got a tuning fork right here. Pardon the other noise. Let me see if I can give you a if this will pick up. Now, you can't really hear that pitch. Yeah, let me put it on. I don't have, my guitar is not out. Let me see if I can. Can you pick that up? Oh, here, I'll put it on a glass. Not so great, but you're going to get this really warm bell-like sound. I should have had my guitar out for this. Now, what you need to do with this high-pitched, beautiful, bell-like, warm A pitch is to tune the fifth fret harmonic of your A string to match exactly the pitch of the tuning fork. Now, the first few times you do this, you're going to wish that you had another hand. To minimize your frustration, don't use a pick. Just pick with your thumb. And pick very, very close to the bridge so that the harmonic will sustain longer. Do you know how to play a harmonic? If you don't know how to create a natural harmonic on the guitar, and there are natural harmonics and there are not natural harmonics. We're talking about a natural harmonic. When you play a harmonic at the fifth fret of your A string, you don't depress the string as one customarily does when you play the note at the fifth fret or at any other fret. When you play a harmonic, your fingertip, the fleshy part of your finger, is placed barely touching the string, not pressed to the fingerboard, barely touching the string or just a hair's distance above the string, and here's the important part, directly over the fret. Not above the fret in the direction of the headstock as when playing in an ordinary fashion. And the other thing you need to know about harmonics is, except at the 12th fret, natural harmonics do not sound like the fretted notes that occur when we play in a traditional fashion at that same location on the neck. Okay? So understand, 12th fret, depressed fretted note, and harmonics sound the same when we're talking about natural harmonics. And all of the rest of the natural harmonics do not sound the same as the fretted notes that occur when we play in those places in a traditional way. Okay, so you tune the A string so its fifth fret harmonic is exactly the same pitch as the A440 tuning fork. Now, if you can get that harmonic to really sustain and compare it to the sound of your tuning fork, you will actually hear the what is called in acoustics beating, B-E-A-T-I-N-G, or the pulsating of the sound waves not being simultaneous. It's quite a fascinating thing, really. You need to be ruthless about these two pitches being identical. Don't settle. A lot of people go through all this aggravation and they're, you know, smacking the tuning fork and holding it. I recommend you use your right hand to hold the tuning fork. Hold it in such a way that the stem is, I guess, between your thumb and index and middle finger, but have enough of your thumb available that you can pluck your A string very close to the bridge as you play your harmonic. It's a little unwieldy. But anyway, so you're going to tune the A string fifth fret harmonic to be exactly the same pitch as the A440 tuning fork. Now, those of you who have always tuned with your eyes are not going to find this easy, but I don't want you to be discouraged. It's so important for you to know what an A should sound like. Okay, that's all you need the tuning fork for. You can put it down and say, this is a fun toy, because it is. Now you're going to tune the rest of the strings with harmonics. Yes, I know some people just get their A in tune with a tuning fork and then they don't use harmonics to tune the rest of the guitar. There are a lot of ways to tune, but the problem with people not tuning their guitars properly has to do with that open strings and fretted notes of the same pitch have such a different, what we call timbre, T-I-M-B-R-E, which is the quality of the sound. It's so different that some people's ears can't tell when they're the same or that they're not different, or when they're different and they're not the same. So we're going for accomplishing correct tuning and with sound that is all the same quality, and by that I mean harmonics. Okay, so your A string is tuned to the tuning fork in a perfect world. Then we want the fifth fret harmonic on the A string and the 7th fret harmonic on the D string to be the same pitch. If they are not the same, change the D string until they are. Now you're playing harmonics at both of these places, 5th fret of the A string and 7th fret of the D string. Okay. When those are tuned, We want the 5th fret harmonic on the D string and the 7th fret harmonic on the G string to be the same pitch. And if they are not, what we need to do is change the G string until they are. Okay, so we've done the A string 5th fret harmonic to the tuning fork, the A string 5th fret harmonic to the D string 7th fret harmonic, the D string 5th fret harmonic to the G string 7th fret harmonic, right? And needless to say, if the D string 5th fret harmonic and the G string 7th fret harmonic are not the same, you're going to change the G string until they're the same. Now this next step is where it's different. Now we want the 4th fret harmonic on the G string, the 5th fret harmonic on the B string, and the 7th fret harmonic on the E string all to be the same pitch. Now, if they are not, the first one you're going to tune is from G to B, change the B string until they're the same, and then we want to compare the B to the E. If they're not, change the E string, then compare all three. Now, for me, when I play a 4th fret harmonic, it's a little touchy. It's not as easy to accomplish as some of the other natural harmonics. I go just the tiniest bit north of the fret, or kind of to the north part of the actual fret when my finger is above the string. I'd say I'm not quite as dead on exactly in the center of the fret. Not the fret area, I mean the physical little metal piece that we call a fret. I'm just the tiniest bit north of it toward the headstock. I mean like a millimeter. I'm really talking a small distance. Okay, that's the tricky one. So when you get those all set, well then we've got our poor E string, our low E string has not been touched. Now, what we're going to do is the 5th fret harmonic of the low E string and the 7th fret harmonic on the A string, they need to be the same pitch. Now, here's where we've always, each time the 7th fret note has gotten changed, but this time, since we tuned the A string to the tuning fork, you're going to change the E string if they're not the same, because that's the one that's out of tune. Okay? I'm going to repeat that because it's a change. If when you're tuning from the 5th fret of the E string to the 7th fret of the A string, and they're not in tune, change the E string, not the A string. Okay? All right. After you have tuned thusly, you should be good to go. But I find that a lot of guitarists take a long time to do this, especially the first time, with numerous harmonics on every string and with way harder picking than is really necessary. So sometimes by the time you're done in the first, I don't know, dozen times you do this, I mean dozen times you actually tune in this manner, that by the time you're done tuning, some of them are a little bit out of tune just by virtue of they've been picked so many times and over and over and over. So just check your normally fretted octaves in this way. Play open low E, play E on the D string, and play open high E. If they are not in octave tune, adjust them. If you are not so experienced that you know a pure octave when you hear it or not, you really need to work on your ear training. If you're a musician, you need to be able to hear. And I this is something I'm adamant about, and I think it's sorely lacking in a lot of players. A lot of players are strictly mechanics, strictly technicians. I mean, they're playing fast. They don't know if they're even playing a right note or not in some cases. I'm not accusing you if you have a clue what you're doing. But unfortunately, a lot of people play who aren't actually really very musical. Okay, so you're going to play open low E, E on the D string, and open high E. Then play C on the A string and C on the B string. Get those in octave tune. Play B on the A string and open B. If they're down in octave tune, adjust them. Then play open A on the G string, and A, the first high A that you get to, on the E string. If they're not in octave tune, adjust them. Now, with tuning by harmonics, you should be good to go. It's a good thing to just check. I mean, you could be doing this on a humid day, and if you're in a humid environment, even though you've tuned with harmonics, by the time you get done, even if you're quick, your guitar is going to be a little out of tune. So you want to just do this little extra octave check. You can go much farther in the fine-tuning process, but the above-described procedure will tune up your ears as well as your guitar. And if you do this faithfully for 2 weeks, don't give it up. I mean, if this is something foreign to you, I really suggest you do it faithfully for 2 weeks. You'll never tune any other way. But you can't give it up after the first couple of times. You need to stick it out. And if you're a guitarist who doesn't hear well, and that's why, or hear accurately, and you think an electronic tuner is your answer, you're going totally in the wrong direction. You need to actually download a program or two where you can do a little ear training. You should be able to identify an octave. You should be able to hear a fifth, which sometimes masquerades as an octave because they're such pure intervals. You should understand what you're listening to. It's going to make your life a lot richer. It's sort of like if you have a fairly extensive vocabulary and you read Shakespeare, it's delicious to read. If you have a very limited vocabulary and you don't read in general and you read Shakespeare, it's like, shoot me in the head. I don't even know what's going on here, and who could even read this? So, you know, we want to be literate guitarists, and we want our ears really accurate. And, you know, you're missing 3/4 of the story if you don't know what you're listening to. There are a couple of pieces of music that I use. Well, I didn't start out this way, but I have to say, there are a few pieces of music that when I present them to students and I see some react in a particular way, that some little phrase of music is actually humorous if you see what's happening on the page and you hear it. And there are others that just play it because that's what notes are there. And I can tell immediately who's listening and who gets it when certain pieces of music are presented to my students, and that's why I give them to them. I actually want to see, are they processing it? Are they absorbing what I'm telling them? Even though it seems like they are, I don't always know. So anyway, it's kind of like, you know, did you wash your hands? And someone says yes and holds up clean hands and you smell for the soap. It's kind of like that. Anyway, that wraps it up for the take notes section. I hope if you've been tuning with a tuner, you'll get off the lazy couch and actually do something with your ears. And let's move over to the outro and wrap up episode 007. Well, students and valued listeners, thank you for your time and for joining me again this week on episode 007 of the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is GuitarTechniqueTutor.com. All spelled in the traditional way. I'm going to spell it out for you. GuitarTechniqueTutor.com. And you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please notice there is no tutor in the email address. I mean, it's a crazy long website. I didn't want to kill anybody with that in my mail address. Don't hesitate to email me with your questions for the question of the week. If I use your question, I will send you your very own red GuitarTechniqueTutor.com podcast pick. If you'd like, follow me on Twitter, where I'm GuitarTechnique, or you can join the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com Facebook page. Now, you can also, download and subscribe to these podcasts on iTunes, as I mentioned at the opening of the show. However, we're limited right now as of August 15th at noon, 2010. Right now you can only get episode 5, 6, and this one, when it's up, will be on, as soon as I finish editing it, will be on iTunes. If you'd like to catch up with the first few shows, I encourage you to do so, because there's, I hope, something interesting for everybody on all of these broadcasts. And you can go to my website, guitartechniquetutor.com, and on the left side menu, you'll see a button that says podcast. And on that page will be all the show notes, and that's where the show notes live anyway, whether you're hearing me on iTunes or wherever you're getting this podcast. The show notes right now are living at the podcast page of my website. So you can go there, you can click and listen to the shows, you can see the links and see a little synopsis of what each podcast is about. I don't know if that's going to change when I change my method of aggregation. I'll keep you posted, but I'm not going to take one down without overlap for a while before I change it. Okay, so I'd be remiss if I didn't say, if you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwa, Midland Park, Montvale, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddlebrook, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Tuxedo, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. Calling is best, and my phone number is all over the website. I don't want to broadcast it at this point. If we can coordinate our schedules and you are a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. This is still a pretty good time to get in my schedule. I don't know how far into September I'll have any times or any desirable times anyway. I mean, I have been known to teach students at 11:30 p.m. It's not a problem for me, but, you know, you need an unusual lifestyle to be able to have a lesson on a regular basis at that hour. Especially if you're calling with reference to anyone who is quote-unquote a school-aged student, I mean someone younger than college age, obviously can't be teaching they can't be having a lesson at 10 at night. So if you're investigating the possibility of guitar lessons, give me a call, especially if you have time or day constraints. My schedule is not going to be wide open for long. Okay, well, that does it for this week. I hope you have a great week playing. I hope you will really, really, really give serious consideration if you're an electric player and you perform and you have an issue with keeping your guitar in tune because of the nature of what you play. Look into evertune.com. I will brief you if I have any conversations with them directly and learn anything more than I've told you. If you have been tuning with an electronic tuner, not in noisy venues, and if you do not have tinnitus, get yourself an A440 tuning fork and tune your guitar like a musician, you know, and stop being a, I don't even know what the word is, a pseudo-musician. Do it the right way. Your ears will thank you, and music is going to be a lot richer to you very soon if you can really hear. Okay, have a great week. Until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time.